Is that better?
Yeah.
We, as you, most of you know, we moved up to Boise, Idaho about a year and a half ago. And Boise is it has the largest Mormon population outside of Utah. And but as the Lord said to Paul, we have many people there. So there are many believers there. It seems like most of them are from California. We've found the Lord's people up there, and we're grateful for that. We've found a little church, there's a Bible study in our neighborhood, and we're part of a fellowship or a home group that's a part of the church that we're attending. I miss what we have here in that the home groups there, like a lot of evangelical churches, they go over what the pastor said on Sunday, and I'm so used to just studying verse by verse with the Word with you guys in some of the different meetings. So, but it's still, you know, it's still good. The Lord is there. And then I was down here. I'm staying with my dad. He's a 93-year-old who's convalescing, has a lot of things wrong with him, but nothing that's life-threatening at this point. And I was down for my high school reunion, 50-year reunion. And I was chatting with Dave before the meeting, and you know, it's sometimes you say to yourself, "Well, I don't want to go to those things." You know, not that you're arrogant. You just, you know, why bother? But you know, as Dave said, it was a real blessing because I had met three or four people that had come to know the Lord since high school, and we were able to have fellowship and actually edify one another and talk about how wonderful it'll be. All of us will be together with the Lord Jesus someday, and then the Lord opened up a door with a couple that I knew that I was able to share what the Lord had done for me through COVID. And it was great. You know, it reminded me about witnessing is that what the evangelical church calls witnessing is really, in a sense, you're just telling people what the Lord's done for you. I mean, you can just leave it at that if the Lord doesn't prompt you. So it's hard to refute what the Lord has done for you. You can't really argue with that. So I was able to do that. So it's been a real blessing. And I wanted, before we pray and start, I wanted to share a quick story about our brother Bob Myers, who I grew up with, as a testimony to his, you know how when you meet new Christians, if you've been a Christian for a long time, they have this exuberance because they're so grateful for the forgiveness of their sin that they just, you can't contain them. You know, we've all been around those people. And sometimes as you get a little calloused and towards losing that first love a little bit, you kind of want to, you know, when you're around them, okay, yeah, that's great. You'll come down to earth, you know, that kind of carnal attitude. And but Bob, when he first got saved, we went over to Hawaii after I graduated from college. We had kind of grown up, you know, going through the surfing magazines about all these surf stars on the north shore of Oahu. So we wanted to go over there and kind of live that. And but he had just become a Christian. So when we got over there, he was just on fire for the Lord. I mean, you couldn't contain him. He was sharing with it. He would just, whenever you're with him, he'd just say, "Hey, isn't it cool? Isn't it great that the Lord did this? The Lord did that." And I was not walking with the Lord at the time, and I was kind of poo-pooing it, so to speak. And I've always regretted that. I to this day, I'm just confessing that was, I should have been encouraging him and maybe let the Holy Spirit ignite that fire that was in him. So I Bob, if you ever hear this tape, I just want to appreciate you for what you did, and I think a lot of us have experienced that. So why don't we pray this morning before we get started, and ask for the Lord to help us. So Lord, we thank you for any opportunity, as we've already done, to lift up the Lord Jesus, and it's because of him we are here. So, Lord, we ask that you would create a clean heart in me and a clean heart within the listeners, that your Holy Spirit would have his way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, If you would turn with me to Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. I'm just going to read this out loud. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." You know, as I was meditating on this, the Lord put on my heart several weeks ago, and I'm plagiarizing in a sense, but you know, plagiarizing the Word of God is probably the only time it's blessed, you know, so it really struck me, and that, you know, it's wonderful the service that God has put us in, whether it's ministry, whether it's helps, administration. There's a lot of different giftings that we've been blessed with the Lord, and they're wonderful, and I'm not criticizing them. They're wonderful. Tithing, giving of the Lord financially is wonderful. There's just a lot of things that we can be doing for the Lord, but there's really only one thing that is necessary, and as Jesus said, there's only one thing that is needed, and that's the devotion, a complete love for the Lord Jesus. That's where it starts, and that's where it ends. And so as I was meditating on this, I was, the Lord just put this on my heart. He said the fertile ground needed for an increase in the knowledge of God and his ways starts and finishes with the devotional love for Jesus. And I said, where'd that come from? I mean, it sounds like something I would read. I was kind of meditating. The fertile ground necessary for an increase in the knowledge of God and his ways starts and finishes with devotional love for Jesus. Wow, that means I'm not going to go very far unless I get that first love back. And that's not something you work up, is it, brothers and sisters? And then the Lord said to me, all spiritual growth, I couldn't memorize both of them. So these two things that the Lord put on my heart, so I've got to read it because I'm so inept. All spiritual growth springs forth from one's love and devotion to Jesus, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. All spiritual growth springs forth from one's love and devotion to Jesus, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. So I just, you know, I said, well, what should I title this sharing with you guys? And I love it. You guys have probably heard this before. Keep the main thing the main thing. You guys have probably heard that before. Keep the main thing the main thing. And so I just have been meditating on that, and I wanted to maybe share a couple other scriptures because I think that the Holy Spirit is in this. And that another scripture that I'd like you to look at with me is Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. Bear with me, it's a few verses here, but I think it's worth it. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of these will love him the more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, and this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I love the last part of this verse. It tells us that this woman loved Jesus. And her love for Jesus, in many respects, based on this scripture, is because she was forgiven. She understood that she was forgiven by Jesus. This was sponsored much of that love for Jesus. And when we're around men that are even older than me, and I'm old, but those that are in the late 80s and 90s that have walked with the Lord 30, 40, 50 years, have you ever been around some of those meetings where when they start talking about the Lord Jesus, they just start weeping? And it's wonderful, but when they talk, or when you ask them what touched you, they still can't believe after 40, 50, 60 years that Jesus would have forgiven them, because they've lived so long to see that litany of sins that they're embarrassed about, or their regret, and they're just tearful about what the Lord Jesus has done, and that sponsors their love. And I hope that many of us can have that same love and not wait till we're in our late 80s and 90s if the Lord spares us. And one of the things that we all think of is that when you love somebody, if you think of your courting days, if you're married, because you love that person, you can't wait to spend a lot of time with them. I mean, if you love somebody, you want to spend a lot of time with them. You know, the Lord Jesus is no different. If you think about it, if you think of it in human terms, if you will, he wants us, because we love him, to spend time with him. You know, it doesn't come out and say this in Genesis, but when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and he came in the cool of the day, if you remember that story where they were hiding after they had taken the fruit. And I just imagine that the Lord probably came in the cool of the day in that paradise every day just to hang out with Adam and Eve, just to walk with them. You know, like we would walk with a spouse or a good friend at a sunset or some beautiful thing, just to hang out together. And the Lord wants us just to hang out with him. So service is wonderful. Tithing is wonderful. Witnessing is wonderful. These are all wonderful things. But at the end of the day, as Jesus said, there's only one thing that's needed, and that's devotional love for the Lord Jesus. So there's just a few more scriptures. I'm not going to belabor the point that I wanted to share with you, because I think the Lord backs up this. If you would look at, you don't have to turn. It's just one verse. It's John 8:42. And I'll read it to you. It's just, Jesus said to them, and this was during when the Pharisees were mocking him in the account in John 8. "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." I'm sorry for reading it broken up like that. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." So here the Lord is just saying, if you were looking for God, if you're going to find God, if you love God, then you're going to love me. And then Luke 10, 25 through 10, 28. Let's turn to that, if you would. Luke 10, 25 through 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is the reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live forever." So this is the, you know, sometimes we would never limit God by saying he's a bottom line God. But Jesus kind of wrapped it up here and saying, you know, all the law and the prophets, everything that you've been reading and studying about me can be wrapped up in two simple, because, you know, in many ways, we're very simplistic. We don't want to get too complicated, and God knows our frame. And so he's saying at the end of the day, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the bottom line, which is what we're talking about this morning. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. So knowing that that's the great command, those are the two great commandments from the Lord Jesus' mouth, then let's look at, there's no scripture you have to turn to, but my comment earlier was about we can't work ourselves up to love the Lord. And I can tell you that I believe with all my heart and through experience with the Lord that the Lord doesn't poo-poo or put down our human love for him. I mean, we know what human love is like. It's fickle. It sways with the wind. But you know what? When you just want to love the Lord, even out of your humanness, the Lord doesn't put that down. He doesn't, you know, he knows our frame, and he's going to develop that love spiritually in a godly way. He's, you know, we're a work that hasn't been finished, right, brothers and sisters? I mean, there's that process of sanctification to be set apart. It's a part of that scripture in Ephesians when he talks about the church. In fact, maybe I should just read that real quick. Ephesians 5:27, which you guys are, I know you're familiar with, says that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the Lord is perfecting his church, and he's going to do the same thing with our love for him. So sometimes when you're, I don't know, when the chips are down, you're lying on a gurney in a hospital, whatever it might be, and you don't feel spiritual. I just don't feel the Lord's presence. Well, you know what? As Johnny said this morning, things will go sway back and forth, but there's a foundation that's sure. And if you just say, "Lord Jesus, I don't feel you, but I love you, even in my feebleness," the Lord hears and he's with you. Amen. So I want to conclude. You'll be happy about that. I want to conclude with Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And this is something that really spoke to me through, might have been our brother Tom Pike or Paul, or no, it might have been Dan Cohen at the Friday night Bible study that really spoke to me about the Lord's grace. It's Matthew 9:9. By the way, that Friday night Bible study, thank God for COVID. I've been able to be a part of that by Zoom, and I don't mean that, you know, we've lost some wonderful saints. I'm not saying it, but because of that COVID situation, we couldn't meet. A lot of us have gleaned through Zoom, and I've been being able to hear the teaching of Paul and Tom and Bob and Dan and others. And you know what was really cool is the comments from the other brothers and sisters. I've just been gleaning. I mean, they're not. This is not an opinion party. This is where people are saying, "Well, the Lord showed me this, and the Lord has shown me that," and oh my gosh. I could fill up a notebook with the comments from Kathy Lee and different saints that are part of that Friday night, and I know that the other Bible studies is probably just the same. So thank you, brothers and sisters. That's been a wonderful experience. Zooming and being able to be a part of that. So one of the things they studied a couple weeks ago was Matthew 9:9, and it talks about Matthew and how Jesus came to him and he just said, "Come, follow me." And what was wonderful about that to me is you just picture, here's Matthew. He's got dough. I mean, he's financially, because he's been crooked like all those tax collectors, because they, as you know, they collected what Rome said you got to collect, and then they could add on whatever premium they wanted so that they would fatten their personal things. So he was hated by his own people. You know, Matthew knew that. He knew that he was at the bottom, and he's not, you know, what could he ever do to get out of that? He's already in as a tax collector. And then he knows that he's not right with God because he's a swindler. And so what do you do? If you're in picture, what do you do if you're Matthew? I mean, you're not going to walk away from your livelihood, probably not. And if you go to the temple, you're going to get kicked out. I mean, so what do you do? How do I get to God and I know I'm stuck and I'm in the hole and I'm going to go to hell, and what do I do? And so in that state, Jesus comes to him. He didn't do anything to warrant that. Jesus says, comes to him, says, "Come, follow me." And so God gave him a chance, despite, he couldn't help himself. That's the point. And Jesus comes to him and says, "Come, follow me." And he jumped on it. I mean, the Holy Spirit had probably been working on him, saying, if you ever get a chance to be right with God, here's that chance. And he jumped on it. And so my exhortation to myself and to you is, if there's anybody here, and I think everyone here knows the Lord, but if there isn't, and you've been, how do I get to God? Do I just go to more meetings? Do I give more money? Do I hang out with other Christians? How do I get to God? Well, he's doing the same thing today. He's saying, come, amen, just follow me. And those of you who have been like me at times, where you feel far away from God and you just can't get back. You know, I got to pray harder, or I got to do this or that. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us that are believers that can't seem to get close to God. He makes it very simple. Come, follow me. He's reaching out to us in exactly the state we are, and we can't work it up to get closer to him. Come, follow me. There's only one thing that is needed, Jesus said, and it's not going to be taken away from Mary. And that was her love and devotion for the Lord Jesus. So may we keep the main thing, okay?